Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, look at that. We're starting right off the bat with a martini sound today.
Yeah, Matt's usually pretty lazy at the top of the show and likes to just see if he can coast by, but I hear him smashing ice in the background, which can only mean one thing. Yes.
Well, we are back. It's another episode of Martinis and Murder.
Yes. Part two of last week's episode. We kind of left you guys with a little bit of a cliffhanger, at least in terms of our theories and what we're thinking about this whole thing.
Well, there was just so much to talk about. There were so many interesting details.
Yes.
I mean, this case might be one of my favorites so far just because there's a lot of mystery behind this, and it kind of always kept me on the like edge of my seat. So I was really excited that we were doing a two-parter.
Yeah, as I was walking to record today, I ran into a few coworkers, and they were like, "What are you going to do?" I was like, "Oh, you know, get drunk and talk about murder."
Yeah.
And they asked what the case was about, and I was like, "Well, technically," they were like, "How did she get murdered?" I was like, "Well, technically, we don't really know anything.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Also,
nobody has been discovered. Nothing has happened." If you guys remember from part one, and by the way, we highly recommend
Listening to part one first
because none of this will make sense today.
And that would have been my first response to coworkers. Like, by the way, go and listen. Yeah.
I just thought I'd give them a little Cliff's Notes. You know what I mean?
That's all right.
But yeah, I was like, well, we don't really know anything. So it's just like theories and conjecture on our part and a lot of allegedlys. And hopefully we'll be able to solve something.
I think we'll be good.
Yes.
By the way, Matt just left the studio, I think, to get another knife.
He got just a lemon.
All right.
To squeeze in our eyes as he's attempting to kill us.
And then kill us.
Because why not make it really difficult and torturous for us?
So what is he making for us today, Darren?
I'm pretty excited about this one as well. So this one's called a beach martini.
Mm.
It'll make sense to you as we kind of wrap up this episode as to why we're choosing a beach martini. But if you want to drink along, here's the recipe. It's equal parts citrus vodka, homemade sweet and sour mix, because as Matt said, he did not like the concept of buying sour mix.
By the way,
he's making it.
I think we need to really applaud him because he really cares about the quality and the production value of the show.
He doesn't want us vomiting whilst recording. His job is on the line.
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's what I've always said to him.
And we will fire him in an instant. By the way, he's my boss, so,
I have no
reason to say that.
Right.
But yeah, continue with the things
so
here.
Equal parts citrus vodka, homemade sweet and sour mix, and half a cup of water, sugar, lemon, and limes, a splash of blue curacao, and fresh lemon garnish.
And I am such a noob to like drinking and alcohol just in general. Like I just don't drink too often. I was like, oh, a splash of blue curacao.
So curacao, I've actually been there and it's in the Caribbean. So
So you have another connection to another case here in a way.
All I'm saying is I've been swimming and drinking martinis since I was a little pup.
Look at you. You were made. You were born to do the show is what you're saying.
Yes, baby, I was born to run. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's do a little bit of a recap
because
for those who haven't listened to the first part of this, which was episode 7, go do that now. But if you did and just want a quick little refresher, sure it's been a week since the last episode.
Let's I'll just give you a few details. Yeah, I'll give you a few little facts.
And then we'll get into the new stuff.
Yes. So just from last episode, here's what we kind of talked about. Give you a little recap. Cal Poly freshman Kristen Smart goes to a party and is essentially never seen again.
Right.
She's a freshman, like we said. So, you know, she's a stunning 6'1" blonde who, you know, loves to surf. She loves the beach, mm-hmm. if that gives you a little indication of why we're choosing a beach martini today. She loves traveling and poetry. She was actually last seen by fellow Cal Poly freshman Paul Flores, who helped walk her home from her dorm. She was a little drunk and she needed help.
Of course.
He says that Paul Flores actually says that the two parted ways near their separate dorm buildings. Flores has never been arrested or charged with anything related to the disappearance of Kristen Smart. And Flores has maintained that he was innocent to investigators. But just so you know, he was the last person to see her, which is why he was a person of interest. But he has never been charged with anything. I hear the mixing.
I'm excited
in the background.
Because I'm so warm in our studio today for some reason, and I like really need a refreshment.
Yes, better be chilled. however, according to the Los Angeles Times, he became a person of interest that investigators focused on shortly after the disappearance, and the Washington Post reported that he was still a person of interest as of 2016.
Yeah.
Again, I'm assuming that can only be because he was the last person to see her alive that
we know
of.
Right.
So there were a number of inconsistencies in his interviews with police. The Los Angeles Times wrote that he lied to investigators about when and how he sustained a black eye, if you remember that.
Right, from the first episode.
Yes.
First part.
There was a lot of inconsistencies on basically what he was saying. A team of cadaver dogs, which are trained to react to wherever a dead body has been, were also brought into Flores' dorm building. According to the Times, they were taken one by one through the dormitory by handlers who had been given no details about the case. All three dogs, according to the Times, were drawn to the door of what had been Flores' room, barking and scratching to get inside. And each dog then made its way to a corner where Flores' bed had been located, which was now just a strip mattress because, you know,
it was between semesters.
School had already let out. If you guys remember, this happened over Memorial Day weekend, my birthday.
That's right.
And so school had already left out.
Your computer birthday. Don't forget.
Yeah, my computer party.
Yeah, tune in to episode 7 if you don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. The school year ended and the dorms had been vacated, obviously. So according to the victim's family attorney, they searched for fingerprints, hair, DNA, and sent the mattress to federal authorities for analysis, but they were unfortunately unable to find any physical evidence placing Kristen in his room. So nothing has been found. There's
no
nothing
way to
linking
convict him. Yeah.
Paul Flores is innocent, and there is absolutely no way to convict him.
Yeah. So
as right
that.
Now, there is nothing that we have that proves that he did anything wrong.
Right. So let's get into some of the new details that we want to share with you guys because we think they're important and interesting to this case.
Yes.
So the San Luis Obispo Tribune, by the way, there was a civil suit that happened separately from all this other stuff. So the San Luis Obispo Tribune explains that Kristen's parents filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Flores in 1997 that included a subpoena for the sheriff's records on the case. So the county fought the release of any documents related to the ongoing criminal investigation, and a judge ruled in their favor. Later, after...
That had to have felt good for the family.
Right.
You know, you feel like
totally.
You're getting a win, something.
Yeah. And so later, after not finding her remains, though, Kristen was legally declared dead in 2002. So take those two pieces of information and just keep them in your back pocket as our... Oh, my God. Look at these martinis. I'm Snapchatting this. Should I Snapchat?
This is... Like, can you snap it while we're even doing this? Because I got to be honest, guys. People need to see how glorious this martini is.
Ooh, look. Let me get a picture. He's doing little splashes.
He's got a little curacao.
Yeah,
it's like
little splashes.
The layers are separated. I hope this sweet and sour mix is good. It's even got a little lemon peel on the edge of it. I mean...
It's beautiful. So, Darren, take a quick little
When Matt gets
sip.
Fired, he's going to become Matt the mixologist.
That's true. Look here at the camera. All right, we'll make sure we post these on Twitter or something.
My God,
later.
Delicious. This is going to cool
Isn't
you
it so
off.
Good?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I have a huge fan here, like, keeping me a little bit, you know, cooled down.
Matt needs to get his ass over here so we can cheers, bitch, to him.
Oh, that's true. Oh, my God. Yeah, we almost forgot that. All
Gosh.
Right, cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitch.
There we go.
Yeah, I guess bitches.
Bitches,
yeah.
If we can.
You two are my bitches.
Let me take a sip. Okay, a light slurp for those who like that.
Take a little sip, but it's delicious.
I
don't taste any alcohol in
here. Now, wait a minute. This might be my new favorite.
It beats out candy cane.
It does beat out candy cane.
It beats out candy cane.
Wow. Thank you, Matt. Very excited for this
one. Life's a beach.
Life's a beach. Okay, so let's get back to this.
Yeah, can
stop
we get back to,
Snapchatting
like,
our star
you
drinks.
You know, like the actual important topic at hand
But
here.
Seriously, it's a really beautiful blue drink. Okay.
Yes.
Where was I with this? Okay, so yes, keep those two little nuggets of information in your back pocket.
I actually wanted to just interrupt you just for a second because since they haven't found anything of her remains and she was legally declared dead in 2002, I wonder if there's some sort of like statute on if you haven't found anything in 10 years, 8 years, 5 years. Is that what I'm curious as
statute
to know.
Statute of limitations
or
whatever?
Yeah, of like what, how long do you have to wait without finding anything to say like, okay, this person is
We don't know
presumed
that.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. If any of you guys out there might link us to a credible source.
Let us know. I'm
we
curious.
We would love to know.
Yeah.
So anyway, after the Tribune article, however, which was published in 2015, a spokesman for the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office would not comment on where the investigation stands.
That's
he said, quote, "This is an open and active investigation. This has never been considered a cold case, never been closed, and we can't comment on our investigative tactics." Which in and of itself makes sense, but it's like, well, what's going on here? There's a lot of different kind of scenarios.
I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Because as I not only can imagine being part of that family member, you're like, great, they haven't closed this case because that sucks. We don't have any answers. And, you know, they want to continue it. But at the same time, it's so frustrating because we literally know nothing.
Right.
So they're taking it seriously, but we still know nothing.
Right, exactly. So the civil suit actually went nowhere. The LA Times reported that Flores denied, quote, both generally and specifically each and every allegation, end quote, raised against him. He invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination before a grand jury in a civil deposition. Now, there are YouTube videos of this deposition.
Are.
I don't know if we talked about this last week. Maybe we did briefly, but I can't remember. But before any questions are asked, Flores' attorney says, quote, "I want to state for the record so that it's clear as you begin that other than confirming Paul Flores' name, he doesn't intend to answer any questions and on my advice will invoke the Fifth Amendment on all questions," end quote. So that's what happened. And here's some of the dialogue. I thought this was really interesting.
We know we love to role play.
Yes, that's true. So I'll be Smart's attorney.
I'll be Flores.
And you can be Flores.
Okay.
Smart's attorney says, quote, "Are you under the influence of any medication which at this time would interfere with your ability to give clear and accurate answers?"
"On the advice of my attorney, I refuse to answer that question based on the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution."
"Where do you presently reside?"
"On the advice of my attorney, I refuse to answer that question based on the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution."
"Where did you attend high school?"
"On the advice of my attorney, I refuse to answer that question based on the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution."
So there's that.
Yes.
And you guys can find this on YouTube if you'd like to see it yourself. So,
well spoken, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if he, like, practiced that in the mirror, like, over and over
again. He probably had it on his hand. He's looking down, you know. Like,
right. So the civil suit stalled mostly as the Los Angeles Times notes, because, quote, "the refusal of law enforcement officials to turn over evidence gathered in an active case." By the way, Matt turned the lights down and it made a dramatic difference.
It.
Yeah.
When he was turning it down, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Feels
me
like
too.
We're under a spotlight. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. It's
martinis
like,
and murder.
I think we're finally getting the comfort zone.
We really are.
Out
we're
here.
Setting the scene.
It's only episode 8 and we're still figuring these things out. So anyway, so think about it. There's no body. There are no witnesses. There's no murder weapon or DNA evidence linking Paul Flores to Kristen's disappearance.
There's nothing.
Right. So to reiterate, Flores has always maintained his innocence. He's never been charged with anything in connection to Kristen Smart. So in the dozen or so articles that we looked at for this podcast, we couldn't find a single occasion where Flores even returned a phone call made by the press. Now, here's a really interesting, fun story, though.
Yeah.
So because he's been, I guess, a little bit, you know, reclusive, if you will, he was approached last year by the Daily Beast, who found his address and approached him in his driveway.
Which, to be fair, and before you even say like what was said, anybody approaching you at home,
who's
like,
innocent, who's, by the way.
Yeah, who's innocent, at least has no evidence against him at all. And anyone, even if you're not even involved in a case, I'm thinking myself, even as a kid, anytime someone would like approach me in a driveway and it'd be a strange person or something.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Even if it was a Jehovah's Witness coming to my door, I'm like a little startled.
Well, especially if there's suspicion around you. Like you're going to freak
out.
Yeah, you're
like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. You know, like you must be freaked.
And we'll get into more of that like, look, he's innocent
that
stuff.
Mentality.
Yeah,
yes.
A little bit later. But this is from the Daily Beast. Quote, "when asked if he remembered Smart, he said, quote, right, yeah, end quote. Flores refused to weigh in on the Fed search for Smart's remains, saying, quote, I'm fine, I'm good, have a good day, he said. Probed about him having a hand in Smart's demise, Flores replied, quote, "No, no, no, I'm good," he said, according to the Daily Beast.
Which is a weird way to answer that question.
Well, right. The whole I'm good thing. I'm right. Like,
are you just
though?
Keeping it? Are you just yeah. keeping yourself vanilla right. so that way we don't have anything to say
Suspicion.
About you? Which, to be fair, he has.
Right. There you go. So his attorneys have also been relatively quiet. There's really only one quote that we could dig up from one of his former attorneys, and that quote was given to People magazine. Quote, Flores could not be reached for comment, but his attorney in 1998 told People that authorities had no evidence against Flores. Quote, it's one thing to have suspicions, but that doesn't make up for evidence.
Which you know
is
I'm
true.
Passionate about that because
yeah,
we talk about me and being involved in the Innocence Project and yeah. innocent before proven guilty. And that is a huge part of our criminal justice system, one that needs to be maintained.
Now, look, are there flaws? Of course, we hear about it all the time.
Absolutely. But people have their suspicions. And again, yeah. he isn't charged with anything. He's
right.
innocent.
So more here, his family did make another, quote, statement of sorts. An LA Times article recounts a 2006 incident where a reporter approached Paul and his parents for a statement. Paul says, no, quote, no.
Right, just
that
end.
That was
yeah.
it. Paul's father says, quote, we don't want to talk. No, thank you. So Paul's father had a little more, you know, manners.
A little bit more loquacious. yeah. Sure.
Now, the mother handed the reporter a slip of paper with the following lines typed, telling the reporter to print this. Those lines read, quote, a long time ago, we chose to handle our legal matters in a court of law, not in the media court of public opinion. Now, again, as you were saying, he's innocent.
That, right.
I completely agree. Innocent until proven guilty. So things are being handled, and that's the way she's approaching it.
But why write that on a piece of paper?
Right. That's another
to the
thing.
Like the succession of Paul Flores saying no, then the dad saying like, you know, no, thank you. You
right.
know, we don't want to talk. No, thank you.
Right.
And then to her writing something, it, like, why are you doing that? Just feels so odd to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I completely am
just
with you.
Just feels weird, like, handing it, like, what if that was our form of communication, where you're like, hey, Darren, how are you?
Well,
and I write down, I'm good, and I just hand you a piece of paper, and I'm like, that's how I'm doing.
Do you remember writing notes in high school, like, before text messaging and Snapchat was a thing?
Oh.
Yeah. I used to keep all of my notes.
I have them all.
Do you?
Shoebox under my bed.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
Even
that's
still.
A different Martinis and Murder.
That's true. That's
yes.
an After Dark
that's
episode.
That's a murdering of my past.
Okay, well, why don't we get into a little more about who Paul Flores is based on what we know that's
yeah,
in the public
Yeah, I think it's
sphere.
Important to at least talk about who he is because
mm-hmm.
he is, you know, the main guy that we're that is revolved around this case. So
again, last person to see her, basically.
That
it
we
seems.
Know of, yeah. So according to the Los Angeles Times, those who knew Flores in the dorms described to investigators that he seemingly, quote, had no friends, end quote, and was, quote, annoying,
yeah.
end quote. Male students said he would hit on their girlfriends. So,
yeah.
all right. I mean, to be
that,
honest with
you. He's
that
guy.
He's that guy, but, like, a lot of guys are that guy. That
Especially
doesn't really
in
say
college,
anything to
right.
me. Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, boys suck.
Oh, okay.
In fact, at the party on the night Kristen went missing, the Times reported that he was described as being, quote, very quiet and was, quote, shooed away from one cluster of partygoers after hitting on a girl in front of her boyfriend, end quote.
We all know these types of guys.
Well, yeah, it's probably testosterone being testosterone at its finest. You know,
yeah.
you see something happening. You see Paul, whomever, talking to a girl, no matter
yeah.
what it was. Guys are going to get pissed. I mean,
yeah.
it's especially when you're drinking at a party. It's just
right.
that's what happens.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
If you guys remember Tim Davis from part one, I hope you do, because it means you listened.
I do. I listened.
Oh, well, you're like, where are we?
Yeah.
So remember Tim Davis? He was one of the guys who helped throw what would be the last party that Kristen would ever attend. The Times reported what Davis told investigators, which he said, quote, he heard a loud noise in the hallway and saw Paul Flores on top of Kristen Smart. He didn't know if Flores had knocked Kristen Smart down on purpose or if it was an accident. They got up and went their separate ways.
Yeah.
End quote. This is just sort of painting a picture. I understand that probably everyone's minds are running wild right now about what could happen, but we really don't know much information outside of that, and neither did Tim Davis. All he could say was what he saw. She could have tripped. She could have done any number of things.
Yeah.
Like, it's important to keep a lot of theories open here.
Right, and these are just reports that have been out there by credible sources.
Yes.
So paint whatever picture you want in your own heads, but we're just letting you guys know what's up.
We're letting you know, what was said.
And here's another interesting detail.
Yeah, these are some around Flores. So the LA Times reported, quote, in December, a female student summoned San Luis Obispo police at 1 a.m. She told dispatchers that Flores, apparently drunk, had climbed a trellis outside her apartment and was refusing to leave her balcony. He was gone by the time the officers arrived, end quote.
And my first thought about this was, what is a trellis?
That is, I was like, and I have a feeling. What is a trellis? Is it that lattice thing that Ivy grows up?
That's a good question. Matt, our producer, do you want to fill us in on what a trellis is? Oh, he said it was right. He won't speak.
I'm right, bitch.
He's not allowed. He won't speak on the show. So
it's because he knows I'm correct. I've trained him very well.
But I feel like listeners might have a question about what a trellis is, too.
Yeah, no, you're climbing up like a latticed wooden thing.
I mean, call it a lattice. Call it a ladder.
Well, I mean, you're climbing up the side of a thing.
Just people in general.
That's called a trellis. Siri and Google are amazing search engines for this.
I thought you said Siri and Google. I was like, what's Siri and Google?
That is a secret Google I will tell you about later.
Okay, good.
Okay, other interesting facts about what was said. So the Daily Beast writes, quote, according to a March 27th, 1996 San Luis Obispo police report, a drunken Flores was accused around Christmas of attempting to break into a Cal Poly co-ed's apartment. Flores allegedly climbed up her balcony and she suspected he attempted to break into her apartment. End quote. But the article also notes that the student refused to press charges.
Which I think is an important detail.
I think it is too, because obviously if... Well, I mean,
because he's
who
not
knows?
Being, there's nothing.
If you're not pressing charges, then how do we know what to believe?
Then he was
believe?
Just climbing a trellis.
Yeah, you know? Right. Then like, listen, I climb trellises all day, every day. I'm always climbing lattice-y things.
You're known around here as the trellis climber. Let's just be honest.
That's right. So it's, it is important to note that
more weird things are going on.
More weird things. But again, no charges were pressed. We don't know why, but they weren't. And according to Cal Poly student newspaper, Flores dropped out of Cal Poly in 2002. And why might he have dropped out of Cal Poly? Mm. So according to the Times, Flores was having problems academically.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote from the article, actually. So in the quote, in the fall quarter, Flores flunked English composition and math. He received a D in an introductory course in food sciences, his major. He did earn a unit of credit in a pass-fail course, bowling. Flores' grades would not improve much in the next two quarters. And at a 0.6, that's 0.6,
right.
His freshman GPA barely showed a pulse. Well, end quote. That's harsh.
That's very harsh. Barely showed a pulse is a bit like, okay, we get what you're doing there a little bit.
It reminded
bit,
me, have you ever seen the movie Animal House?
Yeah, a long time
ago. It reminded me of a scene where John Belushi's character, he gets pulled into the dean's office and they're like, your GPA is 0.0.
I do remember that, yeah.
So that kind of reminded me of that. Also, food sciences, what is that? And can you major in it? Didn't know that.
That's interesting, absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, these are reasons to drop out, I would say. According to the LA Times, he, quote, lost numerous entry-level jobs and was turned down when he tried to join the Navy, end quote, and also notes that by 2006 he had 3 drunk driving arrests since Kristen Smart had disappeared.
So
he's obviously a troubled young kid in any sort of way. It was probably hard to get his footing, hard to get his ground. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, if he's innocent and there is everyone in this town thinking that he's guilty, that has to weigh on you.
Of course.
No matter
yeah.
what. Like, it's got to be crazy.
And by the way, we're not sympathizing with anybody here. We just really want to make sure everyone understands that he's innocent until
right,
proven guilty.
Right, we're also not
guilty.
Charging anybody either,
no,
you
of
know?
Course.
And, like, it's important to at least paint the picture of
right.
what the setting is and what his mindset could be.
So that's what we know, you know, or what has been reported about him. But we want to talk about some of the recent happenings that have happened with this case as
yeah.
well. Just last September, according to the Los Angeles Times, the FBI spent 5 days digging up 3 locations on a hillside in San Luis Obispo. An FBI agent said that they, quote, picked the locations based on a lead that they developed and because 3 FBI dogs trained to detect human decomposition alerted in those areas. So one of the digs was beneath the giant P landmark near Cal Poly.
That's
now,
the letter P.
The letter P. Yeah, that's a good
it's
point.
It's not like where everyone goes to pee.
Yeah, exactly. The landmark is this like it's basically like 15 to 20 minutes hike from campus. It's up these remote hills with nothing around. Kind of a more obscure version or location of like the Hollywood sign.
That's
in
what
LA.
I was thinking. If you
yeah.
Google image the
say.
Cal Poly P, you can see kind of how remote it is. I mean, you could see it from the sky. It's
yeah.
huge. It's
yeah,
massive.
It's a huge, massive thing. Now, my question is, this immediately hit me as soon as we started talking about this in our production meeting, is why would anyone bury a victim, a huge, you know, this was probably a huge case. You know, there were many volunteers.
Right.
It shook the campus, I'm sure. Bury her under the school landmark. I mean, there are 2 things. On one hand, it's like, okay, are you asking to get caught? Because there's a lot of people looking
right.
at this landmark at any time.
Passing by.
Yeah, passing
it,
by.
You know?
Even like, you know, there were some like not landmarks, but I'm sure your college had these too, like places people would go later at night
sure.
and places people would congregate. And this seems like an obvious place that would happen
ours
at Cal
was
Poly.
The trellis.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We hung out at the trellis.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it's like, well, also maybe he's doing this just to be, or he or she, I guess we should say, depending on who the actual person is, but the killer is how sick is that? Maybe they're trying to like be like, okay, this person is buried in plain sight.
But you know, I mean, to your point, and just that we've been, you know, doing this for several weeks now, we've been talking about sort of the mindset of a possible murderer. I think it's interesting, like even going back from our first episode of the East Area Rapist, how he would call these victims and sort of taunt them, or, you know, he could have been near them at any given time. It's sick and twisted, but you
right.
could just feel so cocky and confident, like, hey, why not? Like, let me throw it in their face, because hiding in plain sight is probably the best thing for all of us, you know? I mean,
yeah.
it's a really interesting, I don't know,
tactic.
Psychology
yeah, yeah.
that you have to be under, but I certainly think it's possible.
So the search, according to the Times, yielded items of interest, but a spokesperson for the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office said, quote, ultimately, it will be up to the sheriff to make a determination if we release that information to the public, because we have a criminal investigation that is ongoing and the sheriff does not want to jeopardize that case. So basically, they found something of interest here,
right.
whatever those things could be. Is it remains? Is it a earring?
And the fact that we don't know is so frustrating.
I know.
I read
terrible.
So many articles that were from September of 2016. And if you Google this,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the articles are just of late, because the search just happened 6
yeah.
months ago.
Right.
And it's like, there's not even, I've tried to comb through every word to see if there was some sort of detail of if it was
an earring,
bone, an earring,
yeah.
a scarf. And it was just like, Nope.
None of that.
We're not going to give you anything.
So since this search occurred about 5 months ago, we called the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office to follow up on any new developments or findings. And as you might have guessed, they have not returned our calls. And they also haven't made any new statements or put out any new releases related to Kristen Smart. So,
well, as they said, it is an ongoing investigation, so they probably don't want to compromise anything. Like, maybe they don't want to tip anybody off as to where they're looking. So nothing can be reoriented or shifted.
As they said, this is an active investigation.
Right.
We have to kind of respect that. But we would love to know anything. I mean, even if it's a statement that's like, you know, we'll be releasing information soon, but as for now,
DNA evidence.
Yeah, I mean, it can't, you know, what's wrong with that? I don't know. Look, I'm not in that profession, so maybe I don't know. Okay, so that's pretty much it in terms of additional details. Yeah, that's what we know. We want to talk about some theories and conjecture now, because
I think this whole case is really theory. I mean, it really is like, what, given the fact that we don't have a body, we don't really know, it's all going to be, I mean, and the internet is amazing for this and also crazy for this because it can open up 25 different avenues for us to go in.
Right.
Messing up back there?
I think he dropped the ice.
He's dropping things. I mean, that's my theory.
The one.
It's Matt.
The one thing that I wanted to mention too, though, my theory is that this might be my new favorite martini. And I feel a little bit tipsy on this because I couldn't quite say that the right way.
I'm not sure there's alcohol in there. Maybe Matt's like being like, no, there's definitely alcohol in there, because we tend to get a little rowdy and mean to him.
And we start breaking things.
It's like a placebo effect.
He's showing us.
She's showing us what could be water.
What's left in
an alcohol bottle.
What is that? Vodka? What is that? Vodka, yeah.
Yes.
There was
but
only
Matt, I need to refill.
A little left.
Just saying.
I know. I think that's why he went
John,
back
you
there.
Need to catch up because I'm about to break down my first theory for
you.
Yeah,
go ahead. Why don't you do that and then I'll just sip in the background.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the night of, paint the picture a little bit. So,
because that's where we need to kind of focus in some ways.
Well, yeah. And as I've been saying to you, just because I am, you know, an advocate for the Innocence Project. Like,
sure.
Imagine Paul Flores, everyone out there who has their own theories and suspicions. Imagine this guy is innocent, is fully innocent. And he really was just the last person to see Kristen Smart because he was trying to help her to go back to her dorm room.
Yeah.
You know, his life has got to be difficult. Think about that. You know, if everyone thinks that you're a rapist or murderer or whatever you are, in a smaller town anywhere. I mean, this case is pretty well known.
Yeah.
No one will ever trust you again, because even if you're proven innocent and there is certainly no evidence to show that he's guilty, the ridicule and torment you must feel from having someone, everyone, really think that you are, has got to be a nightmare.
By the way, did you know Night Of is a show on HBO?
I did know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, you know what? If you are interested in theories and conjecture and everything
that's
that we're
where
thinking,
we need to go.
That show
is,
you never really know what happens. I mean, you sort of know what happens, but you can kind of see how a presumably innocent guy can make a series of innocent mistakes, not illegal mistakes, but just mistakes that could make him seem guilty when he really isn't. So in order to sort of paint this picture better, you should watch that show. It's an eight-parter.
Leading into this now, because I really like this theory and I do want to kind of back it up. So go ahead and take it away.
So when the Daily Beast went to Flores' house, as you had originally mentioned, in an attempt to get him to comment, they also asked a neighbor about him. The neighbor said he was, quote, a nice guy who has, quote, never bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
Never bothered me.
He says.
The neighbor also recalled that when Flores moved in, somebody had plastered the street with posters revealing that Flores had been a, quote, prime suspect, end quote. So, but
round two. I'm excited about this.
But seriously.
No, yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about this little bits here and there, but let's talk about it more, is that, what if, now remember, it's confirmed that Kristen was kind of stumbling home that night, right?
Yeah.
That's what everyone's reported.
That's what they saw, yeah.
Right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks,
round
Matt.
Two. Now, look, I don't always get to round two with these martinis. Sometimes
we
I just
get to a round three, depending on how these theories
round
go.
Three. Yeah, let's see what we can do here in the last parts
so
of the
nice,
show.
It's so nice, though, when it's warm in this
I
room,
know.
So it's like cooling me off.
I'm so in
it
love with
it. It tastes like
this.
One of those.
Tell me.
You know those rocket ice pops that are like red, white, and blue?
It tastes
Doesn't
like one of those.
Doesn't this exactly taste like that?
Yeah. Just so if you're listening, it's not too late to make your own martini at home.
A rocket pop martini.
There you go. I just think that because Kristen was inebriated, clearly not sober.
Right.
what if this was just a series of terrible events that happened to him and he is the last person? I mean, what if they hooked up? Like, maybe she came to her senses. This is just a theory I'm throwing out there. Maybe she came to her senses. Maybe they, quote, hooked up, if you will. And she went to leave and go her own way and, like, stumbled into a forest and was never seen again. I mean, when you're drunk or under the influence of something to that extent, which it sounds like was pretty exceptional, who knows what could have happened to her? You know what I mean?
Especially when you're under the influence. I had a couple friends in college who actually died randomly. And one of them died because he was so messed up that he choked, asphyxiated.
On his own vomit.
On his own vomit, which does happen. And that's tragic and terrible.
It is.
But is that anybody else's fault outside of their own? No. And even though Paul Flores, you know, when we have so many different accounts of people saying, like, oh, you know, he might have been creepy here, or he was climbing up a trellis and never got... I mean, listen, they never pressed charges. And even if he did all that, and even if it was malintent, that doesn't mean that he did anything...
Killed her and disposed of the body.
That doesn't mean that he killed anything wrong with Kristen Smart at the same time, too. So I think that's really important to note as well. You can really only take him for this case.
And the reason we mention this so much is because a lot of the things that people love about true crime is coming up with in their own heads, solving the case, finding the murder. And we love it more than anybody. We're doing the show. We love this genre. But you have to look at this stuff as these people are human beings.
Right.
They don't have evidence that prove anything at this point at all.
Right.
So you just have to always weigh that in the back of your mind. So
definitely, just
with any case, not
it
just
has
this
to be
one.
Frustrating for the parents, no doubt, because it's been 20 years and we still don't even have a body about it.
Right.
But I just think it's really key to be fair.
For
and,
sure.
You know. Right.
And professional, if you will.
Sure. I mean, look we're drinking at work, so how professional are we really? But, like, in theory.
We're not that professional.
Yeah, we're not.
Okay, theory number two is one I wanted to mention. Now, last week, we had given you guys a little bit of a teaser. We had mentioned that there is a Scott Peterson connection.
Yes.
If you don't know who Scott Peterson is, pause the show and Google him now. I'm sure you will remember him. He was very in the news a lot. In the last decade.
Scott and Lacey Peterson, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So Scott Peterson and his future wife, Lacey Rocha, whom you probably remember, he murdered along with his unborn baby when she was 8 months pregnant. Definitely a future episode, by the way.
God.
We're going to have more on that later. Both attended Cal Poly when Kristen Smart disappeared in 1996. So what are the odds, you know?
It's just fun, like, think about
totally.
It. Not fun in, like, a fun way.
No, of
like,
course. But it's like,
wild.
Oh, my God. Well, this goes back to my, like, I always check my phone to see where I was on the day somebody was murdered.
Yes.
So anyway, Peterson was a senior while Kristen was a freshman. Cal Poly only has about 20,000 students. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but for a big university, it's not really that many.
Yeah, no, that's not that bad.
Now, look, there's absolutely no link or evidence connecting the two of them whatsoever, but that didn't stop Scott Peterson from being investigated into a possible connection with Kristen after Lacey Peterson went missing and their story was generating headlines. So this was all kind of going on around the same time.
But could you imagine you're just like regular Scott Peterson and then
this
15
happens.
Years later someone's like, actually, you killed your wife, so
a lieutenant at the San Luis Obispo Sheriff's Office told the Modesto Bee, quote, we are looking at his class schedules to determine if he, let me try this again. We are looking in. I can't do this. Look at this. I keep saying looking in. No, I can do it. Let me try this again.
No more martinis.
All right. Yeah, I know. I think you're actually right about this.
He likes them too much.
Okay. Let me try this one last time. Tell Modesto B. Quote, we are looking at his class schedules to determine if they cross paths at all. I did it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
That's right.
I really do believe this has to do with the martinis I've been drinking.
Sure.
And
that helps you.
And we're going to leave all of this in so you guys can talk about how trashy I am.
Yeah.
So anyway, the lieutenant explained that Scott Peterson's name had been in the Kristen Smart case files, but this was only because investigators had contacted hundreds of people while looking into Kristen's disappearance, and they did this via letter soliciting information.
Right.
So that's kind of how this all came about. He also said Peterson wasn't on a list of people whom investigators wanted to look at. I'm flailing out here. Wanted to look at closer, and he was never interviewed. So one final slightly odd coincidence. Peterson lived in Modesto and Kristen's family lived in Stockton. Now that's about a 30-minute drive. Stockton is 3.5 hours from San Luis Obispo, where they both went to school. And we have to say thank you to Matt.
Yes.
Who is very familiar, as we remember from the East Area Rapist episodes, with that general area of the country. Yes.
But there's been no link.
Right.
It's just crazy to think about both of them. I know.
I could barely get through that
Scott
segment.
Scott Peterson was there when this huge...
Right.
Controversy, well, if you want to call it that.
Murder, whatever it is.
I don't even know what to call the case because we really don't. Well, it's a disappearance.
Well, the other thing that you think of, okay, there's only about 20,000 people at this school and multiple people are disappearing.
What's the ratio of normal people to murderers?
That was my point. I'm just like, what's going on over there?
Like, if it's one out of every third person who's murdering someone,
that's
we all know
problem.
It's Matt in this room.
That's true.
It's
one
Matt.
Out of three, it's Matt.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
But then again, the lawyers are on the line. So
that's
do they?
A good point.
They could be one. We don't know.
We don't know what's going on.
There's a lot to say here.
There's no evidence in either direction. Let's
yes.
just put it that
and
way.
And even though that was a theory that, you know, we all thought of, it hasn't really
that
gone.
That the lawyers
and
killed everybody.
Yeah, that the lawyers killed everybody and then had a beach martini to congratulate
there
themselves.
You go. Yeah.
That Scott Peterson was involved. It was something that we came across that we kind of had to mention because everyone knows, most people should know who Scott Peterson
is. And people that may be very interested in Scott Peterson are listening to the show like, wait, didn't Scott Peterson go to Cal Poly?
Exactly.
It all connected.
Exactly.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so there's a couple other things we want to get to here.
There's a lot of theories, and this isn't even scratching the surface, but theory number three that we kind of came up with was Kristen Smart was actually probably buried at the home of Flores's mother. So there was one theory that Kristen was buried in the backyard of an Arroyo Grande home belonging to Paul Flores's mother. Arroyo Grande is about 18-minute drive from San Luis Obispo, I think. Thanks, Matt, for that information. Matt's like a regular, like, Google Maps.
He's Google Matt.
It's matt.google.com.
.com, right, exactly. We have that Matt app on our iPhones.
So that backyard of Paul Flores' mother has been searched extensively.
Yeah, now this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, and we'll go into more details of that search in a minute because it's very important for us to remember. But it's important to point out that nothing has ever been discovered there. It's been searched extensively, and nothing has ever been discovered. So remember from the first part of the podcast that Paul Flores' dorm roommate, according to the L.A. Times, said in a deposition that Paul had joked that Kristen was, quote, home
with
my
parents,
end quote, which is also just a weird thing to say.
Why would you
anyway?
Even joke about that? Even if it's a joke, like, don't say that.
And don't, like, subject a girl to, like, your parents without being
right,
that. I would never do that anyway.
No.
Even if it's a totally normal situation, why is she with your parents?
Meanwhile, my parents wish I would bring a girl home.
Oh, my God.
You know, they're
they
like,
ever.
John, what's going on? It's been 31 years.
You
are we
going to
have
one of mine.
Are we going to have grandbabies? And I'm like, look, maybe you should come home with me one day.
Yes. I'll be like your beard. We'll beard for each other.
Be amazing.
Okay. An earring. This is the craziest part.
Yeah, this is
an
weird.
Earring was perhaps one reason that the property was searched. According to the LA Times, quote, an earring that seemed to resemble one Kristen had been pictured wearing turned up in the Flores' driveway, but it was misplaced by a sheriff's detective before it could be examined.
Now, that's according to the LA Times.
That was according to the LA Times. And the Daily Beast also wrote, quote, a bearded.
A bearded.
See, now I'm thinking that
we
you're
are drunk.
Me
what
home.
Did Matt put in these drinks? Neither of us can get through these sentences.
I don't fucking know.
This might be our sloppiest episode, by the way.
It definitely is. And, well,
he's laughing in the background. Yeah, that's true. We're giving up after this, people.
Yeah, we're done. So the Daily Beast also wrote, quote, a beaded turquoise earring was discovered by a renter of the residence named Mary Lassiter when she was washing her car in October of 1996, which was a few months after the disappearance because she was disappeared in May. So this was a few months after that.
And so, by the way, we should also mention at this point, it's obvious that she's renting the residence. So they no longer at least live there from what we understand.
At least at this point in time.
At this point, right.
So to continue that quote, Lassiter and her husband Joseph were deposed during the family's civil dispute against Flores. Joseph Lassiter said the earring he saw was hooped with beads that hang down and had, quote, red stuff on it, according to the warrant. So that's what the Daily Beast wrote. And red stuff is actually what was said. It's not like we're being cheeky
Here. Quote, red stuff.
Quote, red stuff.
So that could be red paint. Could it be blood?
It could be anything.
Could it be anything red? Yeah.
This backyard has obviously been searched extensively. A San Luis Obispo Tribune article details how often this property has actually been searched. In 1996, a search of the Flores home in Arroyo Grande yielded absolutely no clues.
No clues, yeah.
In 1997, a search with dogs on the property did not turn up any new leads.
Yeah.
And then in 2000, investigators searched for buried evidence using ground-penetrating radar, which sounds sexual in some sort of way to me, but I'm going to continue with the science here.
Yeah, let's stick to the facts.
Ground-penetrating radar, but no remains or other evidence was found at all. Mm. And then in 2007, so this is like fourth
many
time,
years
here
later,
we go.
Yeah.
And in 2007, a dig for Smart's remains was conducted behind the Flores' home. Sheriff's officials were not involved. The dig was arranged by the Smart family's attorney and the attorney for Susan Flores, who had filed a civil suit against the Smart family for emotional distress. No new evidence was found.
Yeah.
So the Daily Beast actually theorized that Kristen's body may have been buried in the backyard under some concrete, removed, and then reburied somewhere else. The day after the cadaver dog searched the Flores property in 97, according to the Daily Beast, a contractor conducted penetrating radar...
Penetrating the ground.
For the sheriff's office, but his findings were inconclusive. So... again, multiple attempts. It has been searched extensively to no avail.
It's been penetrated many times.
It's been penetrated, hardened, whatever you want to do. A lot of groundbreaking radar scans.
I mean...
the LA Times actually wrote, quote, a scan with ground-penetrating...
Matt is dying in the background, by the way. He's a father.
Yeah. And here he is making martinis while we're talking about ground-penetrating stuff. You're a dad, Matt.
This is so inappropriate.
Your father.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
So, getting back to the penetration
here. The LA Times wrote, quote, a scan with ground-penetrating radar. No wonder you gave me this thing.
Oh, my God.
Ground-penetrating radar of Susan Flores' backyard produced one anomalous reading under a concrete slab, the Smarts have been told, but the detectives apparently did not believe it merited a follow-up look.
Now, anomalous reading, I'm assuming, means something's there,
something's
up.
Something's there, but maybe it wasn't like, hey, dead body.
Right.
Like, nothing's being flashed to them to signal at least further investigation, as we know. But this article was actually written, and it's important to note, before the 2007
search.
So part of the Daily Beast theory that we found is that Paul Flores had allegedly taken on a concrete project around the time Kristen went missing.
Wow, what a great time. While he's in school.
I take on concrete projects all the time.
That's true. You're living up to these lesbian stereotypes.
I love using ground-penetrating radar.
And you love construction.
You know I do. So I'm wearing my tool belt right now. An FBI agent who put together a search warrant for the property transcribed a portion of an interview that Paul Flores had with detectives shortly after the disappearance.
So should we do some more role playing?
Do you want
here?
Me to be Paul Flores again?
Yes, I think I feel like I've really taken on that role, and I know that
penetrating radar.
So you'll play Paul Flores, I'll play the detective.
Yeah, so I'm going to start. I'm Paul Flores.
Okay, go.
Okay. I already have to go, so is it all right then?
No, not yet. We're not through yet. We haven't worked this out, okay? Where do you got to go at 4 o'clock?
I just have to go.
Where?
What?
Where?
I have to clean up some stuff, some concrete.
Where?
My mom's house.
Thank you. We would love, the Oscars just happened, we would love an Oscar.
Amen. I mean, some of my performances are better than some of theirs. But that's an entirely different podcast.
Which we recorded recently.
Yes.
But keep going.
So an attorney for the Smart family that oversaw the 2007 search seemed to be satisfied Kristen was never there. Speaking to Discovery ID, the attorney said, quote, We did the examination. We had the soils checked by the forensics guys to see if there was any evidence of decay, if there was any evidence of human remains or something that could still be identified. And it came back negative. There was nothing there. There was no evidence that there had been anything there.
So this is the smart family's attorney confirming that nothing was there.
And this guy wants to find something more than
anyone.
Totally,
of course.
Like, you want this to come up with some sort of evidence. Again, nothing has been found. There's no link. So if you guys, if you're for the idea that she was moved, perhaps, or somehow reburied somewhere else, this pretty much shoots that down, and it's coming from the smart family's attorney, which is a trusted source, I would say, because they don't want this to be the case, and they're still saying that it is.
Exactly. So I think, yeah, we just have to move on from that idea. Again, we have to trust, as you spill a little bit.
I mean,
this is a really sloppy episode of Martinis and Murder. We are drunk. We don't know what's going on. It's really hot. There's ground penetrating radar all around us.
You're fanning yourself with an oxygen sign. There's a lot going on in this room.
All right. So the last theory that we want to get to is a rather kind of tragic one, but it's an interesting one to think about nonetheless, is that Kristen's body is in a landfill or buried on campus. We talked a little bit more about the
under the P.
Yeah, under the P. But there's one theory out there out of many that's laid out in the Los Angeles Times by someone in law enforcement who worked on the case, is that perhaps Kristen hadn't been murdered. Perhaps there was a struggle, and then at some point she ended up regurgitating on her own vomit. We had talked about that happens at colleges pretty often. On her own vomit, since she had been seemingly incapacitated. So then maybe whomever was involved trying to get rid of that 6'1" body.
Yeah, keep in mind, she's 6'1".
Right, tried to get rid of it in that situation. I mean, imagine seeing someone in that situation.
Yeah.
You're a completely sober person. That's probably the first thing that comes to your mind is like, I don't want to be associated.
Yeah, sure.
So there are rumors that a golf cart used by vendors to deliver pizzas had been stolen on campus, as well as a car cover from a vehicle near the dorms. Armchair detectives have theorized that if Kristen had died accidentally or been murdered by someone, she could have been wrapped in the car cover, and the cart could have been used to drive her body like off of campus. You know, these are rumors. Armchair detectives are kind of putting
these
pieces together.
Which would make sense, again, because she's 6'1", and that's a lot of body to move around.
Yeah. So one theory, going back to the Times article, is that Kristen Smart's body is at the Cold Canyon landfill where Cal Poly trash is taken. So since Flores was a suspect at the time, the Los Angeles Times spoke with investigators and observed that, quote, the large rectangular window of Flores's ground floor room opens on a service driveway. The driveway runs between the dorm and a tree-covered rise, obscuring it from view. At the driveway's end, 30 paces from Flores's room, sit two dumpsters. So all of these things kind of work out in his favor if this person's trying to get rid of that situation. The Times also notes that the garbage truck arrived Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and the truck's prongs, as you might imagine any other garbage truck, would flip over each dumpster, quote, dropping their contents unseen into the bed, end quote. So
it's not like you're looking for a body, you know
right,
what I
of
mean?
Course
like
not.
This is just
I want to finish this up and then I have a thought too.
Okay.
However, several days after the disappearance, according to the Times, a dig for Kristen's remains was conducted by searchers at the Cold Canyon landfill where Cal Poly trash is taken. Workers spent days burrowing down 18 feet, and as you might have guessed, they found nothing. Now, look, could that have happened? Of course, but then it's like, okay, well, did he know all of these things and how to get a hold of all of these things? I mean, you have to know that the dumpster is accessible from your window. You have to know how to steal a golf cart.
Right. You
have
to know
how to
plotted that out.
Exactly.
And it does seem it seems like too perfect of a crime for it to kind of happen. Like, he would have had to have predicted or maybe that someone was going to be drunk enough for them to be able to walk home and, you know, get them into the dorm. And again, the dogs pulled up nothing from his dorm.
There you go. Another
so
good point.
You'd think that a hair follicle would have.
Sure.
If it's anything like my hair in the shower, get a whole wig in the corner of the room.
Oh, my.
You know, what would. Oh,
good,
my.
Interesting visual there.
So it does seem a little too perfect.
Yeah, in my opinion. I mean, again,
hindsight's 20/20.
That's
I think
true.
When looking at this stuff.
I mean, how does it feel to have a child that's been missing with no answers for 20 years? I mean, imagine what that must feel like.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I would have no idea. But
no.
The torture that it must be, even knowing, you know, they say that the worst thing that could happen to a person is having your kids die before you.
Yeah.
But not even knowing not even to be able to have that closure has to be even a worse feeling than that.
Right. Well, February 20th would have been Kristen's 40th birthday. And you know that has to be hard on the family. Every birthday has to be hard. I mean, that's with anyone that you've lost, but especially in such a tragic way.
But even 40, she's so young. Like, she's so... You know.
Yeah. And in 1998, Kristen's mom told People magazine, when you lose a child, there's a period of grieving and then you come to a place. But when you have a missing child, you don't get that. There is no end. It doesn't get any better.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I was just kind of like emphasizing.
Yeah. I mean, the Los Angeles Times said that Kristen's parents described her reporters. Yes. As, quote, a dreamer, a girl who would give her family bear hugs, cook them omelets, and even in her late teens, sit on her father's lap. Homegirl 6'1", so
yeah,
that
that's
dad
a
must
lot
be
lap.
Strong.
Yeah.
She loved the ocean and travel and poetry. She had been a counselor at a camp on Oahu, which is in Hawaii.
You've been there. You've been to Hawaii.
I have been to Hawaii several times.
And
Kristen's mother also said that the sea breeze was one of Kristen's favorite things about living on the Central Coast. So this... The sea breeze martini, this beach martini
is for Kristen.
Is for Kristen in her memory in some sort of way.
Let's cheers
Not
one more time.
Not us butchering the case itself.
Over to Matt as well.
But it's in her memory.
Yeah. According to Cal Poly student newspaper The Mustang News, there are two wooden benches sitting near the edge of a tall bluff overlooking the sea at Pismo Beach. Saying, quote, next to one bench, the face of a 6'1" blonde with dark eyes is etched into a plaque. The name Kristen Denise Smart reads under it. A poem written by Smart is inscribed on a plaque next to the other bench, describing her love for the ocean. Again, connecting to our martini here. And I'll just read the poem because I think it's really beautiful. This is the poem that she wrote, Kristen. I face into the wind. It purrs and whistles. It secrets into my ear. Under the sun, floating upon the salty waters, I cringe with excitement to be in such a heavenly place. So, look, a lot of our shows end in disaster and tragedy, but I thought this was a really great way to kind of wrap things up in a nice, positive way, as positive as you can get with such a terrible crime.
Yeah, I think her memory will definitely live on. I mean, I think the frustrating thing on our place is that we don't really have any... We don't have anything. There's
not
even a lead to anything. And and that just that's the biggest tragedy, I think, of all, because you want something to – you want evidence to wrap up something. We always want to package you guys with something, a little bow. But obviously there is – you know, there was a recent search 6 months ago in September, but there is a $75,000 reward for information leading to the location of Kristen Smart. And if you know someone, something, anything, you may contact the Los Angeles field office at the FBI at 310-477-6565. John, you know we're always trying to get a nut, so we need to start digging for this $75,000 reward.
We've been talking since episode one. We have student loans to pay.
We need to get one of those ground-penetrating radars.
Radars. That's a good point. Yes.
We need that, John.
By the way, you can rewind this episode if you want to hear that information again. So 310-477-6565.
Yes.
If you have any information. So that's it on Kristen Smart.
You do. Yes.
Yeah, we did all of this around... you know, we thought this was a really important episode, these last two parts. We have a new show on Oxygen coming up. Actually, it's already premiered if you're listening to this episode. 3 Days to Live. It now airs every Sunday at 6/5 Central and again at 9/8 Central. And of course, we have It Takes a Killer airing Fridays at 11/10 Central.
Do you think, just along with your Oxygen show, and let me just wrap it up with this one
as I finish off this martini,
do you think the case could have gone differently if the police, if it hadn't happened over a holiday weekend, and
Definitely.
The police could have searched within 24 or 48 as opposed to waiting 4 days?
I love that you asked this question, because as it pertains to our new show, 3 Days to Live, not to keep plugging it, but, you know, I've learned since watching the show that those first 72 hours are so important.
Critical.
And they basically weren't even a part of this investigation,
right.
You know? So it's kind of disappointing to think that, you know, and I think I mentioned this on last week's episode, especially over a holiday weekend where people are drinking and everyone's outside, like, wouldn't that be like even more of a reason to stay on top of this stuff, policemen? You know, so I'm kind of aggravated about that. But
of course,
it is what it is. Let's get to some listener feedback.
Yes. And let us know your thoughts as well in any sort of way. Tweet us.
We love your tweets, by the way.
Yes. I'm at Carpe Darren.
And I'm Jay Thrasher.
Yes. Let us know, because they give us life.
Absolutely. Keep us going. Our first listener feedback is from SL Ray 88 on Twitter, and we joked about this all week long. She says, Martinis and Murder is the absolute highlight of my week. Aww. I love you guys so much. Hashtag, this is our new favorite hashtag. Yes. Hashtag Matt is behind you.
Yes.
Which,
Matt is always lurking.
Yeah, Matt's always lurking. He's literally behind you, by the way, Darren.
I mean, like, I'm my back is turned to him, so I'm hoping that you're going to give me the heads up.
There you go. Knife emoji and martini emoji, which I love that we have our own little emojis going on.
And I hope SL Ray was born in 88, because shout out to people born in 88.
There you go. There you go.
Kara on Twitter says, quote, seriously, just listened to the entire Catfish episode on my run and forgot I was running, which says a lot
good,
for us.
Yeah.
Thanks at Carpe Darren and at Jay Thrasher. Thank you, Kara, because when I'm running, I can't think about anything but the fact that I'm fucking running.
When I'm running, I'm surviving.
Yes.
You know, because it's such a terrible feeling.
Look how much longer do I have?
I also want to mention, I was kind of tweeting back and forth with Kara, and she was like, yeah, I'm in the middle of the woods, like, running, and I was like, make sure you have something with you, because people like Matt will come up behind you and kill you.
Yeah, I think I was like, just make sure you're not running from someone.
Yeah, there you'll be good. That's right, you did say that.
But that's a big motivator to lose weight.
Perfect.
Once again, if you have a case you want us to cover on Martinis and Murder, let us know. They can be murders, cold cases, mysteries, whatever you guys want us to hear discuss, and not butcher, hopefully. I blame Matt for that. Feel free to tweet us at CrimeTime on Twitter, or leave a comment on Facebook at facebook.com/crimetimeonoxygen, and be sure to check out the terms of submissions on oxygen.com before sending us your ideas.
And by the way, tweet us links to ground penetrating radar. We're interested in purchasing this for
you
the
guys
show.
Have that technology.
If you know anything about penetrating the ground, let us know.
Yes.
Don't get blocked, however.
All of that works.
There you go.
Yes.
That's it for this episode of Martinis and Murder. We will be back next week. Please do send us your cases, because we're looking into this stuff. This was a case that someone sent us, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, from the first part. All right. See you guys for a new episode next week.
Thanks for listening and drinking along.
Bye.